Good evening, friends. I'm a grateful recovered alcoholic. My name is Cecil.
And
for those two people who asked me before, as I was a speaker, and I said no, because I like doing that for some reason. When I know who the speaker is beforehand, I always make some glib comment like "be honest" or "be good" or whatever. So I just don't like hearing that myself. But maybe I should stop doing it. Anyway, my sobriety date is April 12th, 2001. That would make it 2,777 days, plus or minus 1 or 2 days of continuous sobriety. This church is really special for me because on May 5th, 2001, I did my first meeting the other side over there for the second time around in recovery, and it was the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me, because when I was completely desperate and ready to go, this meeting was there, and it was just incredible, and it's just changed my life completely. My home group is Steps to Sobriety. We have a big book study on Monday nights, and we have an open speaker meeting on Wednesday night. And we have a new location just down the street from our old church on Mar Saint-Laurent and Ville-Glise. And if you're ever in Ville Saint-Laurent those nights, be great to have you here. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. I'm going to try and follow that formula as opposed to my own. I heard a speaker on Friday night who said he loved hearing drunkologues because it helped him identify with the speaker, just so he knows if he can identify. I despise drunkologues, and so I'm not going to give one because I don't think it's necessary. I drank a lot. I hurt myself and I hurt others. But I do know that I have to identify, so I'll tell you a couple of things that happened to me and some of the insanity of my life. I was looking up on the internet today because the first time when I had a drink and there was a special feeling that that's really good, I was in Florida with my dad. It was holiday times. It was in 1975. And he had given me a little bit of champagne. And I remember drinking it. And the feeling that I got from that was just, can't describe it. And also there was something on the television going on. There was a sporting event, and there was a whole bunch of controversy over there. So that got my attention, and that warm feeling, it was really, really good. And the Dallas Cowboys were on the television there, and ever since then, I liked alcohol, and I really love the Dallas Cowboys. And they sort of go hand in hand with me in some ways. And once I put alcohol in my system, it was it. Alcohol controlled me. And I did pretty much everything I could do to be in the area where I could drink. All my the real jobs I had became bartending and waiter jobs. And so from Tuesday to Saturday, pretty much for about, once I turned the age of like 21, I was drinking. And nothing was more important than the alcohol. Alcohol led me to a whole bunch of other things like drugs and gambling and sexual deviancy, and it was ugly. I was one of those individuals who threw up when he drank, and for about a 12-year period, I threw up at least twice a week. And if you do the numbers, it's over like 1,000 times. And most people, when they do something that doesn't work for them, they change. But I had that alcoholic thinking, I guess. So I found, it wasn't because I drank, it was what I drank. So I switched from different beers to scotch to whatever, the whole speaker. That's what I did, so I could not be sick the next morning. And didn't really work. And I hurt myself a lot. I was not too good to my family. My mom, my dad. I did a fair amount of damage to those individuals. And but I've had the opportunity to make all those amends and live a better life and be better in their eyes anyway. I'm going to tell a car story. For some reason, this is one of those strange nights where I don't have very much to say on that, because I said I don't want to do a drunkologue, so I'm censoring my words, which probably is not very, very good. Like most people in recovery, have a car story, but it just explains the unmanageability of my life. It was Thursday. I had a check going through to pay for my license, but I also needed to buy narcotics so I could sell it, so I could make more money, so I could live, because I wasn't doing anything else. So I had the great idea that I'll buy the dope, make money, and then pay for my license after. 8 years later, I still haven't paid for my license, and I've been caught by the police for driving without a license. And I also didn't have any registration at the time, but that wasn't because of that night. And I was in the South Shore, and I was actually really, really drunk. I thought they were pulling me over because they were going to catch me driving while drunk. And they told me to put the car aside and make my way home. I made my way to another bar, drank some more, was a little more deviant, went back to my car, and then drove home. And you think I would have solved that problem, but when it happened to me the second time, you know, it was like, wow, maybe I should have paid for that license. But that's what happened when I drank. Responsibility just went out the door. And I sucked. I sucked as a friend, as a son, as an employee. And that's what alcohol did to me. And what happened, I got tired of it. One day I'd been on a mini bender for me, which is like 6 hours, because after a while my body just couldn't take it anymore. I just throw it up. And I came home, and I was really angry. And I'd had some clothes on those metal clothes horses there, whatever they're called. And I took a baseball bat and I destroyed it, because I don't know what it did to me, but it was in the way. And a family member was upstairs, and she asked me why I did those things, because I don't seem to be enjoying it. And so she called a friend, and they took me to a hospital, and which led to an in-care treatment center thing. And they started talking about things I could possibly do to get better. But all I heard is they wanted me to stop drinking. So an hour and a half of that, I was, as soon as the break happened, I was gone, because I'd be okay. And a couple of years later, it just started happening again. I quit another job, or I was about to lose this job, and it just really sucked. And a friend of mine had made it into recovery. And he was telling me about what went on in here. And he's 3 weeks sober, and he's a big book thumper. We're very similar, and couldn't stand what he said, but he said enough good things that I wanted to know a little more. And then I'd had enough. I truly had enough. I was about to lose a job because I was making data entry errors because I couldn't see because my eyesight was getting worse and I needed to change my glasses. I never had any money to get new glasses. I don't know why. And so I had to make a decision to get new glasses and try and stop drinking so I could save a little money so my life would get better. And because 3 weeks prior, I'd woken up again in a motel. When my 4 hours were up, the person at the reception called, said it was time to go. And I made a decision. I said if I could stop doing cocaine, my life would be better, which was the truth. But there's also some other things that I had to stop doing. And I said if I could stop doing cocaine, I can keep my job, I can get an apartment, I can get a car, I can get a girlfriend, I can get everything that would make me happy. And so I stopped doing cocaine, and I drank as much as I ever did. I smoked more marijuana. I took anything I could regularly to not be me. I even took gravel a couple of times because it gave me a nice buzz, because I needed it so I could be the angry me. And then, as I said, my buddy was talking about recovery, and I'd had enough. So I called him on a Tuesday, and I asked him to take me to a meeting because I was going to be finishing work early that day, because I was working from 11:30 till 9, but I knew I'd get out early, so I called him to take me to a meeting. And I have to tell this correctly so he doesn't sound like an arse. He was in the West Island, and he wasn't my personal chauffeur, but he told me how I can get to a meeting. But filled with rage and ego and all that other things, I needed to be taken to a meeting, so I didn't go. And it's been 3 weeks since I've been drinking, and since I didn't know how to pay a bill or anything like that, there was some money in my bank account, and Thursday was payday, and I was getting that feeling again that I was just ready to explode. Because earlier on in the week, I was living with my mom at the time, and I was living in a bedroom, and I was a mess, and there was a book that had fallen on the floor, and I just got really upset, and I cursed out that book, and I was going to show that book who's who, you're going to stay on the floor. It was just really silly. But that's how I was back then, and the Thursday came along, and I'm ready to explode again, and I call him again, I'm going to finish work early, could you take me to a meeting? And he goes, no, I can't. And I was really upset, but he told me there was a bus going to be down the road at 7:21, if I was going to finish at 7 o'clock, even though I walk really slow, even you can make it to the bus on time, take the 7 minutes bus ride, and you'd be right at a meeting. And that wasn't good enough for me, because I needed to be brought to a meeting. And then the Saturday, I asked him again, And he said, sure, he was actually on his way to a meeting, and he picked me up and he brought me to a meeting in a different fellowship. When I came into recovery, I was so ready. I was ready to go anywhere. For 3 weeks, I didn't know that there were different fellowships. I just wanted to get better. He said enough good things, and other people that I knew him, that knew me, and they said, whenever he's ready, we're waiting for him, and we'll help him. And normally, if this is on tape, but I normally say my first and last name, because those people broke their anonymity, their personal anonymity to me. And when I'm in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous or any other 12-step recovery program that I go to, I break my anonymity, because if you need help, and I need you to be able to reach me, you know. So that's my take on it. It doesn't have to be yours, but those are my boundaries. And I walked in, and sitting where Grant was this guy named Steve B., former drunken junkie friend of mine, and he was happy. He was clean, because normally when I saw him after 2 o'clock when you're in clubs and stuff like that, you get a little sweaty and sweatpants and he's all really whiny, can I have 3 for 2 and all these other kind of crap. But he looked happy. And he said a whole bunch of great things. He said, go to meetings, don't drink and use, get a sponsor, work the 12 steps of recovery, join a home group, and had no clue what he was talking about. And there was a speaker that was talking, and he went on forever. But the only thing I remember him saying was this guy named Taxi Steve. If you're from the NUG area, maybe you might remember him. 3 months ago, he was sober, which is really cool. And he talked about everybody knew about God, but had forgotten how to put their trust in him. Now, that made sense to me. And I'm really grateful that made sense to me, that I didn't have this God issue or higher power issue. Because when I came in, what do I need to do? I'm going to try it. And I did. I wasn't always successful at everything, but I was a guy. I went after it, you know. And I didn't make it to a meeting again that week because my work schedule didn't allow me. But I went back again on Saturday, and he said the same things. And another speaker talked about all these wonderful things in recovery, what he had done. So when he had mentioned near the end of the meeting again that, you know, join a home group, get a sponsor. You're at a meeting, turn off your phone, especially if you're speaking, so your sponsee doesn't call you and interrupt you in the middle. Sorry about that. Sorry. And so that night, I told him he was going to be my sponsor, and he said no. My first almost mini resentment in recovery. What do you mean no? He goes, there's a process you have to do. There's a little bit of effort. And to get a sponsor, you have to pick one. You have to ask him, oh, would you be my sponsor? And he said yes, and it was really good. And I heard join a home group. Well, he said join a home group. I heard go to meetings, join every group that you can, do service, and or try to anyway. I remember one day I joined 4 groups. I don't suggest that you do that. I joined a meeting at 9 o'clock, 11:30, 7:30. 7:30 in the South Shore without a car. I still don't know how I was going to do that, considering I'm too lazy. I don't want to take buses to go that far to meetings. And I joined a meeting at 11 o'clock at night. I didn't maintain it for very long because it just didn't work. And for a long period of time, I had many home groups, but now I only have 1 in AA and 1 in a different fellowship, because there's not enough time in the day to do everything I need to do, and it hurts when you can't follow through on commitments. So that's why I say it's really great to be part of a whole bunch of groups, but if you can maintain it, great for you. But after a year, I wasn't able to, and it was disappointing not to be able to be a man of my word, and that's something I try and do today to the best of my ability. Anyway, and he told me to work steps and talk with him, call him every single day. Those were his boundaries for sponsorship. He told me to read recovery literature every single day. He gave me an old 24-hour book that somebody had given him. There was a daily reflection. There was the big book. There was the literature that the 12-step rep talked about. And I read this kind of stuff every single day, and I was happy. And I was tired because I was working 55 hours a week, and I was doing 13, 14 meetings. And because I was told, you got to make sobriety the most important thing in your life, and I guess until you burn out. And I didn't know anything about balance, and I still struggle with that today. But it's not as bad. I will sometimes stay home and say no to going to a meeting and stuff like that. That's a couple of times. And it was great. I've had a couple of sponsors in recovery because as wonderful as this guy was, he happened to be working in Quebec City Monday to Friday, coming back on the weekends. And I was greedy and needy. I needed somebody there every single day that I could talk to. And I met this other guy. He described himself as a furry mutant with his hair on fire. And he was as much as I like to go, he went harder than I did, and he taught me a lot of things. Taught me about getting involved, and it's the best thing that ever happened to me, because in my times of trouble, the only thing I've had is the fact that I've been sober, and that's why I mentioned how many days I have, because I've just been completely inappropriate on certain days, and the only thing I had was I didn't drink that day. And I got involved in fellowship. I made friends. I was told to call people every single day. And I, this guy, Tom, would call me every single day just to wish me a happy, sober day. But I knew that his group that he was part of wasn't doing well. And I thought he wanted me to be part of his group. And I went after like 2 weeks. I really can't be part of your group. He goes, I don't want you to be part of my group. Just part of my recovery. I just want you to have a good day. And I've incorporated that into my life. And I call people. And now I have these pseudo messages on my answering machine. I used to say they're for other people, but they're for me. When I call and check my messages, sometimes I want to hear, have a good day. I'm big, brown, and round. I need to have some fun. I got all these nicknames, so I have to use them, you know. And I got my first nickname in the room across there, and it's great. And sobriety's been great. You know, I've been, in some areas of my life, I've been struggling a lot recently. And it's always back to basics. It just never fails, you know. This the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the greatest book I've ever read. And I've been reading it a lot this week, and along with my reflections and stuff like that. It's been incredible. And just work with another alcoholic. Call them. Talk with them. They don't have to be new, because sometimes people with a little bit of time struggle. And somebody in this room taught me that one day, and it's really cool, because it's supposedly always about the newcomer. Yeah, they're important, because they're normally the suffering alcoholic who's suffering the most in the room, but not always, you know. And I've reached out to other members in recovery. I created the fellowship that I needed and I wanted, and I'm part of it. You know, I call my sponsor 6 days a week. I speak with him twice, because he doesn't have a phone anymore. He just has an answering machine, pretty much. So, and every once in a while, he calls me back. But I have three of the greatest friends I'll ever meet in recovery, and they know everything about me, along with my sponsor. And well, they know everything about me when I'm willing to tell them a couple of days later when things happen. But I open up, because I'm not able to keep all this going inside of me, because I don't like being angry for too long, you know, and because I'll lash out. I'm a human being. Hurt me, I'll hurt you back. And I try not to. I try and get... I'm joking on my own words, because it's not always true. I will hurt you back, and I'll try not to, but I normally do. Anyway, but I'm getting a little better at it, because I've accepted the fact that most people just don't do what I say unless it works for them. And it's not because I said it. It's because they wanted to do it. So it's really good. And, you know, join a home group. I'm part of the best home group in the city, besides this one here for all the members here, because I don't want to put you down. But I'm part of a group called Steps to Sobriety, and they're serious. They put a lot of effort into that meeting. And sometimes it's really good, and sometimes it sucks to be there, but that's my perception of it. But it's just other people who just want this meeting to go as well as I do. And it's really, really good when you can get out of the way and just listen to what they have to say, because sometimes they're actually right. Cecil, you're wrong. Yes, I can admit today that I'm sometimes wrong. It doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. And it's really good. And I'm active in my group. I started off just greeting, and I bought stuff for the group. I was a 12-step rep, and I took on the wonderful chore of... And actually, the responsibility of, I'm not going to call it a chore because that might sound like it's not good, because I want to speak truly, of group secretary. And sometimes, you know, having 25 other people just like me voicing their opinions and not listening to you sucks. But it's really good, because it's made me more involved in the group and see things a lot better, and take other people's point of view to get to the right answer. Because it isn't all about me. It's about unity in a group. And if you're new or struggling, this is the best place you'll ever be, and you will learn so much here, and you will be a better person just by being here tonight. It just opens up the door. Get involved in the fellowship. Join groups. Make coffee. Set up chairs. Call people. Shake people's hands. Ask them how they're doing. Let them know how you're doing, and you'll be okay, because I brought a big book up here because I wanted to read a couple things, but I don't know which one I was going to do. But if you're new, it says here, in working with others, life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss, and it's true, you know. And if you're suffering, same page, and working with others, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with another alcoholic. And that's what I've done in my life today, especially this week, you know. My friends have hurt me a lot, and I just needed to hear somebody else's voice in my head, because all my personalities talk too loud, and they don't always make sense. And when they do make sense, if I don't want to listen to them, I just shut them down. And I'm just really grateful to be here and have an opportunity to speak back in this room again, because I have no idea where I would be if I didn't make it into fellowship. I'm hoping I'd still be alive. Probably a lot angrier than I am today on a regular basis, and probably just as broke, but that's okay. And it's amazing. If you're new, if you're struggling, stay with the fellowship. It'll help. It works. And if nobody else has told you that you are loved today, let me be the first. Thank you very much.